Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, so Galatians 5, we'll start there. I think I'll probably do, this may be the last one we do on this. I only have like 40 pages of notes, but we won't get through them all anyway. So that's why we put that sheet on the website, so that you can take time and study on your own. Has everybody found that PDF okay? If you wanted to print it off. And just a reminder, it's done in such a way so it's the King James Version that you're going to find the actual phrase that's being referenced. So if you have a new King James, it might say it just a little bit different. So just keep that in mind. You'll just have to look at and see. But you'll see what it's saying as far as who you are in Christ. Let's pray, and we'll all get in one mind here and get focused. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, I just ask that by the Holy Spirit, you'd give me utterance, illustration, boldness to speak as I ought to speak. Lord, give us ways to say things in such a way that enlighten us. Your word and the entrance of your word brings light, so we know that light's coming forth. We ask for ears that hear and eyes that see and hearts that understand. And Lord, the truths that you give us, we will put into practice. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things that you're going to find, and I've said this once, twice, maybe three, maybe four or five times, but it's true, is that one of the things you're going to find is that this is going, when you read things in the Word that tell you who you are in Christ, your natural mind is going to fight you, okay? You're going to have, there's a tendency inside just our natural person with how we're raised, with the way that we've seen ourselves for years, that tends to fight against what God says about us. And you have to stay with it. If you don't stay with it, it won't work. I'll just be honest with you. People that are that really understand how faith works and operates, there's always, in our world, there is a resistance to God. It's just everywhere because Satan is the god of this world. And so we are fighting against that mentality. We're fighting against that spiritual force constantly, whether you realize it or not. You probably didn't realize it before you got saved because you didn't even know that light was available. You know, how many of you really excited when you got saved and then it's like everything tried to go wrong? You know, or you start to realize, what is going on? Why do I feel like I'm going against the flow? I thought this salvation thing was going to be great. It is great. It just is against the flow. It's contrary to how the world thinks, operates, how they meditate, the direction that they want to go. It's opposite of God. I don't know if you've ever noticed that TV shows, for the most part, the way that the world system works and operates, songs on the radio, all that stuff, they're usually anti-God. They're mostly about you. They're mostly about your flesh. They're mostly about, you know, natural things. So when that happens, you have that constant push against you. And so that's in the world. If you're going to beat that, you have to stick with what the word says. And there's no easy way to do it, I'll be honest. There isn't. Now, the victories are phenomenal when you start to see them, when you start to get the light of what is there, and God begins to, as you yield to him, he begins to open your eyes and the truths begin to root in you and really settle into who you are in Christ. When you get into that place, man, the victories and the breakthrough are just, they're just amazing. I mean, you can't compare them to anything. It literally is the difference between walking in the dark and in the light. Okay? How many prefer to walk through a room with light on? Okay? Well, you want to walk through this life with light on. And anybody that tells you or sells you a bill of goods, like, you know, you just, I know for some, you know, because I've been around charismatics, Pentecostals, and groups like that, you know, they act like there's a prayer that can solve everything. Or if you just have this person lay hands on you, that's a bunch of junk. There is no substitute for doing the word in your life. None. And God's interesting. He's not a social promoter. You know, God will let you stay at age 3 spiritually for the rest of your life if you choose to. People don't like to hear this message. They want to hear something else, you know. Like, how do you make my problems go away? When you die, they'll go away. Or you can fight the fight of faith, use the word of God and apply the word of God. And as you do, the enemy will flee from you. See, the thing is that this is our only opportunity to exercise and prove faith in our lives. It's our only opportunity. You're not going to get an opportunity beyond this. Now, you're all saved, so you'll be in heaven, so you won't have an enemy to fight, okay? But you'll be in heaven, which is good. There's a blessing there, obviously. I'd rather be in heaven than hell, okay, if I had to choose. But the other option is hell, and there's no fight there either. You're submitted to whatever, you know, the demons decide, I guess, or the devil decides. I don't understand exactly how that works, but I don't really need to know because I'm not going there anyway, so it doesn't. I don't really need to know how all that works. But you understand what I'm saying? Here is the only place you get an opportunity to choose. You get your opportunity to choose. And so everything in our day-to-day life, when we choose to walk out of the nature of Christ within us and who we are in Christ, it is a faith act that pleases God. And that's what we're after. We're after pleasing God. We're not after just, I mean, the blessings of God are good and the blessings of God are amazing. But there's more to just getting the blessing, you know what I mean? This is a relationship with the Lord, and it's honoring and loving to Him to obey Him. So you're going to have to make an effort on your own to take on the Word and study and do and practice the best that you see and the best that the Lord shows you. So Galatians 5:6 says this, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything or brings forth nothing." It's the same statement there. It is actually powerless. "But faith working through love." So Paul makes this statement. He says, "For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And so that word "avails" actually means brings forth or power. Now, when you read the epistles, you got to realize that Paul is often arguing with traditional Jews. Okay? So you say, what do you mean by that? Paul is often arguing with traditional Jewish thinking. So what's the point in bringing up circumcision and uncircumcision here? What happened with the Galatians was they were saved, they heard the message of Christ, and they were saved by grace through faith, which does not include any works on our behalf. How many realize that? Okay? When you're saved by grace through faith, that means that you do nothing to earn your salvation. Jesus paid it all for you. So what the Galatians actually were doing was they were switching back, because there was a group of Jewish religious zealots who would go behind Paul and try and undermine everything he did. How would you like that? How would you like after every service or every church you planted and preached, somebody came behind you and said, "Oh, he did it all wrong. This is really how it works." That'd be great, wouldn't it? To have that kind of deal with that kind of stuff. But Paul had that happening to him because they so hated the message of Christ. So what they were doing was they were coming in and saying, "You're not saved unless you do this." And Paul is countering that by saying, "You are saved because you're saved by grace through faith. And the only thing that thing that produces true salvation in your life is when you believe and on the love of God for you, and you act on that by faith by receiving Jesus. It's the only thing that produces change in your life." How many have realized that you can naturally put yourself on a discipline regimen, but it doesn't change your heart? Okay? You guys have heard the story about the bull who is upset about being a bull, and he didn't want to chase red flags anymore. So he decided he was going to be a sheep. Because sheep don't chase red flags. They don't hunt down guys and try and stab them with their horns when they have red flags in their hands. So that bull, he changed. He went and got wool and put it on him. And he quit mooing and learned how to baa instead. And he would sit in the field with other sheep, which looked awkward. But every time somebody waved a red flag in front of him, he chased that red flag. Why? Because there's only one way to make a bull a sheep. It has to be born again. The only way. It's the nature of that bull to do what? Chase the flag. Okay? So the same thing is true. That's what Paul's saying right here. Now, he didn't use that great of a story. But that's what he's saying right here. He's saying, look, nothing you do externally can change you internally. That doesn't mean we don't do good things externally. He's just saying you can't be saved that way. The only thing that is going to avail or bring forth change or has power is faith working through love. That's it. Okay? So in Christ is the only way. In Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, doesn't matter what you do according to the law, but faith working through love, that'll bring about change in your life. And that word avail means to bring forth or to have power. So if you want the promises of God to bring forth and have power, walk in faith and love. Those two things. And it'll produce what you're looking for. All right, let's go to Galatians. I'll read it to you in the Passion Translation. When you're placed into the Anointed One and joined to Him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit nothing. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. In the mirror, it says this. I love this. God believes that we are fully represented in Christ, which takes circumcision or any contribution of the flesh out of the equation. It takes it out of the equation. He says this, love sets faith in motion. Love sets faith in motion, okay? Let's go to another one. Let's go to Galatians 6, verse 15. And he says, now Galatians 5, 6, what we just read, listen to Galatians 6, 15 and see if it doesn't sound similar. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. He says, but a new creation. So in Christ, the only thing, when you get into Christ, what do you become? You become a new creation. So everything external for salvation is just an act of faith. It's not an act of getting saved. You're already saved. You're already born again. You need to see yourself the way God sees you. You need to look into the mirror and go, yes, that's who I am. Whether you feel it, whether it seems like it's so, whether you ever have necessarily grabbed on to the truth of it, you just need to agree with the Lord and move forward accordingly. Walk by faith and agree with Him. In the Amplified, it says this, for neither is circumcision now of any importance nor uncircumcision, but only a new creation, the result of a new birth and a new nature in Christ Jesus the Messiah. Let's go to Ephesians 1:3. What else do we have in Christ? Ephesians 1:3. I like this one. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Boy, that's good, isn't it? He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what could your confession be in that? In Christ Jesus, I have all the blessings of heaven. All of them, now. Not waiting to get them, I got them now. I never lack for anything I need because Jesus has filled my account in heaven to the full in the resurrection. I am not missing one thing that I need in Christ Jesus. Jesus completed the entire work of salvation, spirit, soul, and body. He completed it all. We are functioning out of who we are in Christ. So let me put it to you like this. Imagine you need to look at what Christ did as him filling your bank account to the full. And then your act of faith is what you're doing is you're drawing off his work. Does that make sense? If there's not $50 in the bank account, can you write a check for $50? If there's $25 in the bank account, can you write a check for $50? Is it good? Are you going to be able to draw on that? Well, Jesus filled your bank account, heavenly speaking. So you can draw whatever you need at any moment by an act of faith based on what he did. And you can sign it in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? So what is the need? What is the concern? What is the, and we'll get into this a little bit more in another verse that I really like in 2 Corinthians. But what Paul was saying is, look, you're already blessed with everything in Christ. You've got it now. You don't get it someday when you get to heaven. You have it now already. It's already at your disposal. The word all means the whole. It means thoroughly. You're thoroughly blessed in Christ in heavenly places. Thoroughly blessed. You could look at this as a trust fund that was set up for you by the Lord himself before time began. Jesus Christ consummated the account and released the assets to you to receive in his name. The name of Jesus is the key to unlock the assets. You are already blessed with every heavenly blessing in Christ Jesus. Jesus does not need to die again for you to get what you need. He already completed it. It's a completed work. What we need to do as faith people is access off of that. I don't know about you, but I already got it. I'm excited about it. You know what I mean? I'm not just, for me, like when I read these things, the natural mind tends to go, yeah, okay, I logged that. He said that. I logged that. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I know you got it when you get excited about it. Because when you really realize what Jesus did for you, if you're not excited about the promise of God concerning your situation, there's no hope for you. If in other words, I'll put it to you like this. If you have a problem in your life, and Mike comes up to you and says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you go, I heard that verse before. We're not going to be able to help you. Listen to me. God himself will not be able to help you. Why? Because that's his word to you. And people go, well, I just don't feel it. I know faith it. You don't need to feel it. You just go, you know what, devil? You thought you had me, but I just found out. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know what, devil? You thought you had me bankrupt spiritually, but I just found out in Ephesians 1, come on, that I've been blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's already done. You cannot bankrupt me. You cannot take me down. You cannot roll me over because I'm already in Christ Jesus. I've already got the victory. It's done. When you realize it's done, you'll relax. You'll rest. See, even faith people trip on faith. You ever notice that? Unbelieving faith people, it's the worst thing you've ever heard of in your life. Terrible, just terrible. People who are faith people who don't believe what God said. That doesn't make sense to me. No, you have to get to that place in your life where you go, you know what? This sounds so simple, but it is the most profound thing that will give you breakthrough in your life if you just act on it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And people will look at you, Christians will look at you, and they'll go, what? And because most Christians, straight across the board, most Christians are just living in the natural. They mentally assent to what you say, but they don't live out the word. You say, what do you mean by that? They'll agree. Well, the Bible says this, brother. Yeah, I know. But they won't walk in it. They won't live it out day to day. And guess what won't happen? It won't manifest in their lives. So then guess what happens? I guess God doesn't do that today. But faith takes God at face value, takes him at what he said, believes that it is so, and then expects it to come to pass here and now. Does that make sense? So in other words, pick your problem. Pick the issue. Well, I can't sleep at night because my mind is going a million miles an hour. The Bible says in Proverbs that he gives his beloved rest. The Bible says that when I lie down, I will not be afraid. My sleep will be sweet. I wonder if you said, when I lie down, my sleep will be sweet 500 times a day, rather than when I lie down, my mind never shuts up, if you'd get a different result. You can train your mind to shut up. Did you know that? Because it's your mind. It's not anybody else's. People think it's somebody else's because they've given it over to the enemy to play wreak havoc in their lives. When if they would just grab hold of it with the word of God and attack that thing, they could control the space between the ears. You can control it. The Bible says you can. Now, you may have a fight on your hands because you've given it over to the control of the enemy or to worryful thoughts for a long time. But Jesus plainly said, don't worry about tomorrow. It'll worry about itself. Well, what if? There's a lot of what ifs out there. There's a lot of what ifs out there. What if an asteroid hits the earth? We'll be in heaven. You don't got to worry about it. Just go to bed. Right? It's true. It'll be over. You'll be in heaven. Praise the Lord. There's no sense worrying about it. Take the Lord at face value. People say, it's too easy. No, they make it harder than it is. It can't be that simple. It is that simple. How are you going to be able to do what God's called you to do? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm not going to twist anybody's arm. If God can't fund it and fund it well, I'm going to go do something else. Right? You know, people think thrift shop Jesus. He wasn't thrift shop Jesus. He wasn't just looking for a bargain. You know what I mean? Have you read about what they did in the Old Testament to build those temples? Oh my goodness. God, if I'm going to rely, you know how nuts I would go if I relied on people to do? You know what I mean? I'd have to become the world's greatest manipulator. And there are those that are out there that do it. I don't have to. Why? God will send me the Prince of Dubai if he needs to. And he'll write me a check. For Billings, Montana? No. See, you missed it. This has nothing to do with something natural. This has to do with God's kingdom. And when God wants something done, he'll find people that will work with him. And if they believe him, he will move heaven and earth to get what he needs to those people. He will do it. It isn't about naturally who you know. God can move through those people, but it's about who you know. It's about who you know. Amen? So we are blessed. The Passion Translation says it this way. You can walk around all day and say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You know, when I first heard that, you know, because I was not raised in that kind of a church. When I first heard that, what's wrong with these people? They're blessed. That dude don't look blessed. His car is rusting out. The muffler's dragging out the back of the, you know what I mean? And they just run around, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And then I learned about blessed in the city and blessed in the field and blessed coming in and blessed going out and blessed, you know, Deuteronomy, the blessing. And I'm going, blessed? Why are they saying that? You don't need another reason other than Ephesians 1:3. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I'm blessed. I'm blessed spiritually. So you can walk around. People ask you how you do. You say, I'm blessed. Well, blessed? You know, people look at you cross-eyed when you say stuff like that. You know, because what they're used to hearing is, well, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. And people laugh. You know, yeah, that's stupid. It just is stupid. What are you saying? You're cursing everything that God has blessed. You know what I mean? And I know some people don't know, but you can declare, I am blessed, because in Christ you are blessed. In the Passion Translation, it says this: every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because He sees us wrapped into Christ. I am a Jesus burrito. This is why we celebrate Him with all our hearts. Not going, why, Jesus, why? You should be going, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're in a $100,000 mess. You're going to get us out. Glory to God. This could be the greatest testimony you've ever seen in your life. People go, how are you going to make it? I'm blessed with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I got the best lawyer in the world, in the universe. Do you see what I'm saying? You just believe Him. Well, I don't see how it's going to work. That is believing. Not seeing is believing. Once you see it, you don't got to believe anymore. You can just share the testimony. Does that make sense? Just believe anyway. Well, how are we going to get through it? I don't know how, but God does, and He will. And then keep that on your mouth. Don't let that go. I'm blessed. And the devil will go, you're not blessed. Look at you. You're going under. And you say, shut up, stupid. I'm going over, and I'm going to step on your head on the way. You say, you can't talk to the devil like that. I recommend highly that you talk to the devil like that. You say, how do you know it's the devil versus God? Because if it's God, he's uplifting. He's bringing you up higher. Doesn't mean He won't correct you in some things, but He's saying, look, you're going to make it. Hang on. If it's the devil, it's like, you might as well throw in the towel. Everybody's going to leave you. Nobody likes you. Go eat worms. That's him. You can tell it's him because your face goes from, oh. And you just, it's like, how many have noticed? It's just like weight tries to come and sit on you. You know what I mean? All the pressures of life. Cast your care on the Lord, for He cares for you. Well, you don't understand how hard it is. Probably not. But Jesus does, and He took more than you, and He told you He could do it. So do it. Amen? Ephesians 1:10 says this. Actually, let me read this to you in the Mirror Bible. It says this: let's celebrate God. He lavished every blessing heaven has upon us in Christ. He lavished every one. Well, I got them all then. Well, I'm in a good place. I'm in a really good place. Now, I'm just going to believe it and let the devil and everybody else see it. I don't know about you, I'm walking into some good stuff. See, I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for myself. And what happens is God looks for people that will believe Him and then do what He says, and then He will manifest according to their faith the blessing upon them that they're believing for, and then He'll use that as a testimony to others to say, look, come on in. The shepherd is good. He's the good shepherd. And people look at you, you ain't got no problems. You say, let's not talk about the problems. There's plenty of problems. Let's talk about the blessing. Let's talk about God taking care of us. Does that make sense? So Ephesians 1:10 says this: and because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of the ages finally reaches its climax when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. So until that day comes, we got a lot of work to do. In Christ, everything's going to be made new. New heavens, new earth. Everything will be new. Everything that the enemy and humanity messed up will be fixed. But until that day comes, we are to walk in Christ. We're to walk in who He has created us to be and be a light and a witness. Amen? I like this one, Ephesians 2:6. And He's hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I love that verse. I use that verse a lot. See, in Christ Jesus, I am seated right now in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. This very thought ties in with Ephesians 1:10. It's the same thought. We are in a place in Christ where our past is over, our now is secure, and our future is secure, not only past, not only through this life, but into eternity. Into eternity. It's already secure. It's already done. It's completed. Now, the full manifestation of what's going to happen, it'll come out in dispensations. But the bulk of everything that we needed spiritually is already completed, including your victory over physical death. Including your victory over physical death. It is already done. It doesn't need to be done. It doesn't need to be still ratified in the sense of Jesus coming and paying the price. It's completed. It's over. It's done. The devil has nothing on you. Not because you're in you, but because you're in him. You're in him. Amen? Okay, let's... those are the in Christs. I like those. Let's go to I'm on page 19 of 40. Let's go to let's go to Philemon. And there's only one chapter in Philemon, verse 6. I want you to see this. Philemon 1:6. Says this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by what? The acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. If you want your life to significantly change, you need to learn to communicate and talk about every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. If you refuse to talk about who Christ has made you to be, the ability or the strength of God will be suffocated inside you. Okay? So that's what he's saying here. He's saying that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the what? Acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The word effectual means powerful, operative, or active. When you acknowledge who you are in Christ, there is a power that is released. There's effectiveness that is released. There's an activeness that happens to your faith. When I acknowledge every good thing that is in me in Christ Jesus, it becomes effective, operative, and active in my life. I choose to say about me what God says about me. This is challenging, I'm telling you. People tend to shy away from this because they feel like they're lying. You ever notice that? You ever felt that before? You go, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And your mind goes, you did this wrong today. It takes faith. See, good people think they're lying when they say that. No, you're lying if you don't say what God said. God said, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, why would he say that? I can think of one good reason. I can think of many good reasons. But it paints everything into a corner to where only one is true, and that's God. And you have to, in order for you to acknowledge that, you have to acknowledge the fact that you're not. So you do need to say, there are so many good things in me in Christ Jesus. And I acknowledge that. And when you do, that power then becomes effective in your life. See, you have all the power you need to stop having childish fights with your spouse. Amen, Sean. Go ahead. Believe I will. Thank you. David encouraged himself in the Lord, so I figured I might try it. We have all the power in us to deal with our kids in absolute the love of God. All of it. But if you run around going, my weakness is I'm impatient. You know, I'm really impatient. I'm just impatient. And then you know what Christians do? They say that all day long. They say it for years. And then in prayer, they go, God, I just don't know why I'm so impatient. I just want to be patient, but I'm impatient. Come on. Am I just the only one that has ever heard this before or experienced it myself? It's because you're not acknowledging who's in you. And when you don't acknowledge who's in you, weakness rides there. You can make a weakness, you can make a fleshiness, a strength by acknowledging that over who you are in Christ. You can make anything a strength by acknowledging who you are in Christ and sticking with that confession and following that confession. You can make it what was a weakness in your life, you can turn it into a strength. And it's already actually turned into a strength in Christ. It's just whether or not we act on it and live it out. Does that make sense? You do not have to fight at all. Did you know that? Period. You say, you're there. No, I'm not. But I am to live my life and walk in love as Jesus did. Did Jesus ever just lose his cool? Never. He never did. He was perfect. People say, well, what about when he, you know, drove people out of the temple? He never lost his cool. He did exactly what God told him to do, held himself in exact check physically and emotionally, and got the job done, and then taught the lesson and moved on. So it was a vigorous lesson that day. Church, you know, I'm thinking about doing it here, you know, Sunday morning, start chasing people with a cat of nine tails. It'll keep the service lively. Turning over chairs and might be a good idea. You know, just trying to be like Jesus. He never lost his cool. There were times he rebuked the disciples sharply. Did he get out of love? Nope. He never did. He never missed it. Ever. Why? Because he was under control by the Spirit of God within him. So can you be also. So can you be also. It's possible, but it's only possible for those who see it and move towards it and believe it. And this is the other thing that you need to build into yourself. When you do miss it, repent and go on. Do not sit and sulk. God is not impressed by your pouty face. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you ever have one of your kids, you know, they get in trouble, you deal with it. You know, I've dealt with it. And they try and like mope around, you know, to prove, you know, that they got it. That'll make me almost discipline them again. Why? Because I'm not going to let you pout all day. Shake it off. It's over. Forget about it. You know, Pastor Brett talked about it a couple Sundays ago. He got chewed out by the sergeant. He started to kind of mope away. And the sergeant, what are you doing? It's over. Let it go. Stand up straight and go do your job. That's how God is. It's over. Good. Get over it. You're good. Move on. And then you just straighten up and go, nope, we're going to do it right this time. Well, what if I miss it again? Don't worry. God's merciful. Okay? You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Amen? You have to acknowledge, and when you acknowledge who you are in Christ, it strengthens you. Here's a good one. 2 Peter 1:8. Same thing. Same essential thought. 2 Peter 1:8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, you need knowledge. You need understanding about who you are in Christ. And when you act on, if you read the previous verses, you'll see what he's telling you to act on. But when you put those things on and you act on those things, you become fruitful unto righteousness. You begin to show forth fruit in Christ Jesus. Let's look at a couple more here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. I like this one. Now, this one is an in him scripture. It's not a in Christ, but it's an in him. It says this, 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God in him are yes," or yea, "and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. That's awesome. All the promises of God. People say, well, which one? All of them. In Christ, they're yes and amen. Well, it doesn't seem like they're working in my life. That's because you're not working them. You got to work them. You got to expect them to come to pass. This is not a neutral faith. You got to be in a gear if you're going to succeed in this. You say, what do you mean by that? At least trudge along in first gear. And eventually, as you get it revved up a little bit more, you can push her into second. But don't let it sit in neutral. Don't let it sit in neutral. In other words, you got to be actively expecting that God is going to do what he said he would do. And when you do that, it engages the spiritual world, and the spiritual world begins to manifest in the natural world. And the tendency of Christianity, I know from experience, is that you get so far or you do so much, and then what tries to push the word out in your life every time? Trials, persecutions, day-to-day life. Come on, rocks. You know what I mean? There's always stuff, birds of the air flying over. There's always stuff trying to take the word. And in those moments, you got to go, no, 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 no. Ground's staying clean. I'm staying in faith. God's moving. He's doing what he said he was going to do. And we're about to see a major breakthrough here. And when you do that, that pleases God. And that pleasing of God, it's not that he just all of a sudden decides, oh, I guess I like him. I'm going to do something. He liked you all along. He just now has a legal right to activate, to put into manifestation the promise that he already made because you are in faith. He has the legal right. He has the legal right. In the Passion Translation, it says this, "For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him. And as his yes and our amen ascend to God, we bring him glory." The Mirror says this, "In him, the detail of every single promise of God is fulfilled." I love that. In him, the detail of every single promise of God is fulfilled. Jesus is God's yes to your total well-being. Jesus is God's yes to your total well-being. In our union with him, the amen that echoes in us gives evidence to his glorious intent through us. Jesus is God's yes to your total well-being. Man. Let's look at another one here. Let's go to Colossians 2, verse number 10. Colossians 2:10 says this, "And ye are complete in him." You ever had people, you know, I need to pray for more love. I just need more love and I got to pray. Do you know it's a waste of time to pray for more love? Do you know it's completely unbiblical to pray for more love? Here's one that's been famous for a while these days. I'll just hit it because it's fun. I want to bat that pinata around for a while. I need a fresh baptism of love. Do you know that's completely, there's no scripture for that? It's unbiblical. You don't need a baptism of love. You need to use the love you already have. The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. People say, well, it doesn't feel like I have much love. I know, because you're yielding so much to your flesh that you've suffocated the resurrection of Christ in you. You've built entire walls of offense around your mind or hurt or whatever. And when that happens, love seems calloused. It's still there. It's just that unforgiveness is in the way. Why? Because when you look at a person, you remember everything that they did wrong to you and you hold on to it instead of letting it go. When the Bible says in Colossians 2:10 that you are complete in Him. Well, I need them to approve me and to make me feel okay so that I can move on with my life. You're wasting your time. You need to realize that you are complete in Him, and that when you realize that and you're healthy because your relationship with Him is healthy, then you'll be able to love anybody no matter what they do to you. Why? Because you're receiving love straight from the source. Love. When we as believers wait for validation outside of the nature of who we are in Christ and our Father, we end up handicapping and stunting our spiritual growth. Does that make sense? I have never said that before. When we look to other things to validate or ratify who we are other than Jesus Christ, and we get our focus on other things other than God the Father, we become weak and indifferent. Because see, now I have to perform so that you like me rather than understanding that I'm loved by Him and I can lay down my life for you. See, it strips all the fear out of it. Why? Because it doesn't matter what you do to me, because I'm not loving you based on your love for me. I'm loving you based on His love for me. And that is what makes Christians strong. And it's also what makes Christians martyrs, because they're not afraid anymore. Why? The love that they need, the acceptance, or what we see right here, the completeness is in Him. Does that make sense? Now that's a deep thought. Well, you're going to have to meditate on that one. But if you get it, if you meditate, if it sinks into you, you'll become the most annoying thing to the enemy, because he won't be able to shift you or move you one way or another, because you'll just love people. You know, it's interesting. Jesus had such love for the Pharisees that in the middle of them wanting to kill Him for every miracle He did, He'd do miracles right in the middle of a group of them that were just waiting for Him to do it, because He wanted them to see truth. The Bible actually says that the religious leaders at one point were waiting for Jesus to heal a man who was withered in the hand. They don't even agree with Him healing. And they're sitting there going, watch, He's going to heal him. He's going to heal him. I know it. He's going to heal him. It's the Sabbath day. You know He's going to do it just to make us mad, which was not His intention. He wasn't just trying to pick a fight. He wasn't like, all right, disciples, let's go see if we can get stoned today. It wasn't that at all. What was it? I want them to see my Father. And He's willing to put Himself in the middle of that. Why? Because He didn't put His trust in any man. He put His trust in His Father. He so loved people to the point that all of His disciples, He knew they were going to abandon Him. And He still died for them. Woo! There's a level of strength there we haven't tapped yet. I don't believe we've stepped into the fullness of what's available here yet, but I believe that a group of people could if they made up their minds to. And said, Lord, I'm going to go as far as I possibly can in this thing. I'm going to give you all that I possibly can. I'm going to believe you to the best of my ability. And then I'm going to draw my last breath in faith and then go to heaven. But I'm going to make it count now. And it's worth it because I'm drawing my strength off of you. I'm drawing my completeness off of you. I'm not getting my sense of worth from my family lineage naturally. I get it from my family lineage spiritually. You know, my family lineage is nuts. Naturally. Scottish and Viking? Have you seen William Wallace? Braveheart? Combine that with a Viking. You know, Heidi, we looked at my family name. At one point, we locked a family, another clan that was against us, in a building and burned it down. All of them. It's a good thing I got saved. There are days where I feel like painting my face blue. Yeah, let's get her done. And just going back, you know what I mean? But that's not my nature. My nature is Christ. I would never burn another clan to the ground anymore. You understand what I'm saying? My nature is new. I now have a resurrection in me. My genetics spiritually are completely different. I am not subject to my natural lineage anymore. I'm not subject to the identity that the world tries to conform me to. I am now subject to the transformation of heaven. I am now put under subject to Him. I now can lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. I now can lay hands on people and they can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I now can move into a situation and express the love of God and bring forth the wisdom of God. Why? Because the anointing of heaven lives on the inside of me. I can now change atmospheres like Jesus did. Why? Because His nature is my nature. I'm His little bro. He's my big brother. I've been born again. Why? Because I didn't like the first one. I wanted a new one. I don't want the first one. You say, well, but Sean, you know, your family history and where they came from and da 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 da. Yeah, it's all going to be wiped out anyway. I'm getting a new heavens and a new earth. And when that one fully manifests, you know, we're in Christed. You know what I mean? We don't even exist in the sense of who that, we're going to have so much more to talk about, so much more to reminisce about, so much more to do and to accomplish in the eternity of eternities that the Vikings ain't going to matter no more. It won't matter. None of it will matter because we'll be doing kingdom work. I'm going to be telling angels what to do. I'm telling them now what to do. So why not, you know? They hearken unto the word of God, right? They are sent for our, to those who are heirs of salvation. They work on my behalf. They work on your behalf, depending on what you say. Depending on what you say. Let me find another one here. There are so many good ones, but I trust you're going to go and dig and find them for yourself, because there's such a gold mine here. Oh, here we go. Philippians 4:19. This is a by Christ one. Okay? You guys all know this. He says this, I am convinced, he says in the King James, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then I put this confession, all of my needs are met according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In the Passion Translation, it says this, I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have. For I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. Ha, I love that verse. That verse, I just want to roll in it. You know what I mean? Just kind of roll back and forth. It's abundance. Just roll, enjoy it. You know what I mean? The Bible says He leads us beside still waters and He leads us in green pastures. These words are green pastures and still waters. How are your needs going to be met? Don't you know how many bills you have coming? According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am not going under, I am going over. It is a settled fact. Devil, stick around. Here it comes. You've got to steamroll him. Do you understand this? You have to steamroll him from the inside out. And people go, well, my personality isn't like yours. Fine, stand up and mouse it. But at least say something. I don't care if you get up and you're shaking. You go, Philippians What's it say? I don't know. Grab the book. Okay. And just shake and hold on to it and say, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah. Why? Because you're not the power behind it anyway. Jesus is. You say, devil, take your hands off my stuff. Ministering spirits, bring it in. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And Haggai said, the gold is mine and the silver is mine. You know what else he said in Haggai? You should read it sometime. It's a good book. But you know what else he said? He said, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, and I'm going to bring it all back into the church. Read it. It's there. It's there. Who do you think God made cows for? The devil and his bunch? God was like, you know, I'm in a good mood today. I'm going to create a planet. And I want to make it for the demons. Who did he make all of that stuff for? Adam and? Adam didn't have the moral right to sell, but he had the legal right. And he legally turned it over to the enemy. But is it the devil's? Not by creation, it's God's. So who's it for? It's for God's kids. Who are you? You're his kid. Come on, let your brain just let it unlock just a little bit. Let it unlock. Let God give you a vision of his provision for you. Not what you can come up with. Let God do it. It's gonna take some daydreaming. You know what I mean by that? You're going to have to look into the word and go, okay. Yeah, he supplies all my need according to his riches and glory, not according to my overtime. We're going to battle through this bugger, I'll tell you what. But we're going to have some believing people by the time it's done. Amen? Okay, should we do one more? I got 1 minute. I will squeeze all the minutes out of this time that I can. Praise the Lord. I know where I want to go. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. I think that's where I want to. That's not my notes, but it's somewhere in my notes, but I don't know where. Yeah, this is where I want to go. Oh, I guess it's, I don't know if I got to this one before, but it's an In Christer. Second Corinthians 4. No. 2 Corinthians 2. Sorry. Did I say 4 earlier? I said 2 and then I messed it up. Okay. Second Corinthians 2. I think we looked at this before, but it's good to look at it again. Here we go. All right, 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God. Now, Paul, how many think Paul went through some stuff? Okay? So we're not saying we're exempt from stuff. Stuff's going to happen. But what does Paul say in the middle of it? Does Paul say, you know, we just don't understand the will of God. We just don't understand the plan of God. You know, there are just things that we just don't understand. We just don't understand. We just don't understand. I just don't understand. So we've acknowledged that you don't understand. But Paul didn't sit and talk about, he didn't sit and question God in the middle of trouble. Come on. Or God's intentions. He didn't sit back in the middle of those situations and go, God, why are you doing this? You know, at one point, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia. And the man from Macedonia said, come over here and preach. And he did. And I believe that's where they delivered the demonic woman, right? Is that where that was in Acts? Anyway, he goes over and preaches. He delivers the one girl, and they get beat up and put in jail over it. And Paul didn't sit down and go, well, now, Lord, why'd you do that? Paul didn't sit down and write a letter to his partners. Guys, I don't know how we're going to make it through, but please pray. I figure if I get 499,000 people praying, God might hear me. That's another farce. The more people praying, the more God hears. That is not true. The Bible says that John said this. He said, we know that he hears us because we ask according to his will. And then he says this, because we know he hears us, we know we have the petitions. That does not sound like prayer teaching today, does it, at all? Is this like, you know, it's like sports. I used to play this video game. And you could throw the basketball from one side of the court to the other, you know, shoot it from half court or further. And the announcer would say, he throws up a prayer. How many have ever heard that before on a sports game? In other words, what are they saying? It may go in, it may not. Chances are, it won't. You know that's how most Christians pray? There should be an announcer when somebody's in their prayer closet. And she throws up a prayer. Yep. Oh, God did not answer that time. Time's up. You lose. That is not what prayer is. If you ask according to his will, then you know that he hears you. And if you know that he hears you, then you know that you have the petitions you asked of. At the end of your prayer, you should not go, now, Lord, I hope you answer that. Well, if you didn't pray according to his will, you may not get an answer. But if you prayed according to his will and according to his word, which is his will is his word, then you're in a good place and you can go, Lord, thank you that you heard me. Let's move forward. I'm excited for the answer. But what does Paul say here? He says what? Now, thanks be unto God, which what? Always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Now, he wrote to the Corinthians. Most people would read it this way today. Now, thanks be unto God who sometimes causes us to triumph in Christ. No, he always does. In Christ, when I was reading this, I'm meditating this scripture. And I'm reading it and I'm thinking about it. And I'm going, Lord, always causes us to triumph. Lord, there are times where I have not triumphed in situations, and the Lord is telling, it's just like he's saying to me, that's because you were not following me. You were following you. You were doing this. Well, I wonder if I could do it this way or I could do it this way. And Paul's going, no, I'm not going any which way. Christ, which way? And then God will tell you what to do, and you go, that doesn't make any sense. How many of you have realized that faith always offends your natural senses? It just does. It's offensive to the natural mind. The Bible actually says that faith and the knowledge of God is foolishness to the natural man. That includes yours. So in Christ, I'm always going to triumph? How is that possible? That means you follow him in every situation. That means that no matter what comes up, there's a victory answer somewhere in Christ. The difference between those who hit that answer and don't are the ones who believe it and don't. It's that simple. You know what I noticed about the old timers? I'm talking about the old boys, the from years ago, the men of faith. You know what I noticed about them? I listened to Brother Hagin teach and stuff, and frequently he'll say, you know, I took 3 days to fast and pray. People don't have 3 minutes to pray today. Well, I just don't have time. Well, then you'll have a shipwreck. I bet you'll find time when everything's piled up in the corner. See, a lot of things have just been lost because people don't know how to shut off the TV. There is no substitute for just sitting in God's presence and waiting to hear from Him. The faith level and the confidence level goes down when there's no fellowship. A high level of fellowship will always produce a high level of confidence and faith. Always. Why? Because you know you're hearing from Him because you've shut off every other voice. Do you know that in all actuality, in an attempt, people do this, in an attempt to rest, people can actually wear themselves out even more because they don't wait on the Lord. They just do a bunch of natural things. It happens all the time. People go, well, why do you bring that up? Because if we want to go to a level, or if you want things to change, you're going to have to take time. Well, I just don't have time. Make it. Cut something off. Tell your family, I'm taking 2 hours. You call me or bug me, I'm going to shave your nose clean off your face. You say, that's kind of harsh, Sean. Well, cat of nine tails. You know, you got to do what you got to do. Well, I just don't have time. Find a babysitter to watch your kids for 2 hours and pray. Amen. That's good preaching, Sean. Go ahead. Believe I will. Thank you. If you want to know how in tune you are with the Spirit, sit down and try and do nothing and see what voices pop up first. If you want to know how settled you are in your mind, shut everything off in the house and just sit down for a second and see what comes to your head. See, these old boys knew how to do this. They knew how to do it. Right now, Heidi and I, we're in the process of doing this. We're getting ourselves into a place financially where there is no anything. And I'm going to get there quick. And it won't be just by my, you know what I mean? I'm going to take on 7,000 jobs. And no, God's going to help me get there to where I can just go, what do you want, Lord? I want you to sit with me for 2 hours, pray, go. Okay? I'm getting there. Why? It's the only way that we're going to see what God has in our hearts. It's the only way. And then the stresses and all the things that we think need to dominate us don't dominate us anymore. You know what I mean? See, the funny thing about some of this stuff is this, is that people think when, like if I talk about prosperity or blessing, they think in terms of, yeah, man, I can get this and I can get that. See, I'm not in it for that. You know what I'm in it for? So I don't have to do anything but what He wants me to do. That's it. When I'm in that place, and I can just go, the Lord can say to me, I want you to go over here and minister to these people. Let's do it. Let's go. I got no strings. Let's go. That's what I'm after. It's not about, if it was about stuff, I can buy so much stuff. Come on. I could buy so much stuff on credit. My credit is excellent. I mean like excellent. Like the guy reads it and drools. You know what I mean? We got one. And then they realize he ain't going to spend nothing on for us. You're right. I'm not, because I've been through you already once and I'm not going back, and you're not owning me again. Come on. But you get to that place where what? Where you can do what God wants you to do at all times. And then you get your spouse and you're together on it. Woo. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. It's powerful. So now I'm off on a tangent. But you see where we're going, right? Spend time with the Lord. Get these scriptures in you. If it's new to you, take extra time doing it. If it's old to you, take time and re-stir up some of those things inside of you again that were there before. and get that focus back. Trim off kind of the spiritual fat. You know what I mean by that? Trim it down to where you're really functioning well with the Lord and hearing from Him. And you'll be grateful that you do. Your life will be so much better, right? There's no place, I mean, walking close to God, it's amazing. It's the best ever. And it's a faith fight, but we can do it. Amen? Well, bless you guys. We'll see you Sunday. I may next week start something new, next Wednesday. I haven't quite decided yet. We may hit this again. There's still a lot there, but we may move into something new. All right. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.